Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Malcolm McDowell, and unfortunately, you're watching Geekscape. But you are a geek, so hey, you deserve all you get.
Geekscapists, welcome to a brand new Geekscape podcast. I'm Jonathan London, your vessel of love, and this is Geekscape. We talk movies, video games, comic books, pop culture, all that stuff that we can fit under the hood. We're looking forward to San Diego Comic-Con. That's going to be happening in July. I think it's the second to last weekend in July. And y'all are like, hey, Comic-Con's so far away. We still got some major geek events before that. We've got, what's the one I'm thinking of? Oh, yeah, Morbius. So, yeah, I know Comic-Con's a ways away, but Comic-Con's also the celebration of everything that Geekscape's about. So I like to bring up the fact that we're going to be there. I've applied for our hotel rooms. And you know what? If the variants are doing okay and the whole COVID thing is low, maybe we'll see you there. It'd be fun to have you at the booth, right? I'm thinking about getting some new t-shirts made with new designs. If you have a suggestion for a t-shirt you'd like to see or an old Geekscape design you'd like to see back, maybe there's a Geekscape logo color shirt that you want. Like, hey, can y'all make a Geekscape logo shirt in orange? That would look terrible. But, you know, go ahead and email me, jonathan@geekscape.net, and we'll make sure that the Comic-Con is the best one yet. So we're putting those plans together, and we'll see you this summer, hopefully. All right. This is the podcast where we talk about stuff. We got a pretty packed episode, so I'm going to go ahead and run the theme song. We'll get back here, and I think we're going to be talking a little bit of the Halo series on Paramount+. We'll be talking about The Lost City with Channing Tatum and Sandra Bullock. And then I went to see that insane Michelle Yeoh movie, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Oh, and did anything happen to the Oscars last night? I didn't watch them, but I definitely caught up with them online. So we'll be talking about that, too. It's all coming up on a brand new Geekscape. Hey, what's up, Geekscapists? Welcome to the Geekscape podcast. I'm Jonathan London, your host. And as promised, we're going to be talking movies, video games, comic books, TV, all that stuff that is comic worthy. It's a big week. We got this new Moon Knight show coming from Disney on that Disney Plus. It's coming from Marvel. This is the, it's hard to describe Moon Knight. People ask me about Moon Knight, and I'll tell you straight up, I hope to be surprised by this Moon Knight series because Moon Knight is not one of my favorite Marvel characters. Right now, my good friend Yuri Lowenthal is going, what? He loves Moon Knight. And I just never really got Mark Spector's entire story. There's some schizophrenia, some times the right. It really depends on the writer that deals with Moon Knight. But supposedly, we'll see what the series is. I'm excited. I am excited to see it. I'm excited for Moon Knight. But if you were to ask me, Jonathan, I want to know about this Moon Knight character. What is the Moon Knight story that is like the definitive Moon Knight story? I don't think I would be able to point you in the right direction. Supposedly Jeff Lemire, who's one of my favorite writers, has a pretty good recent run on Moon Knight. That's probably where I will start. But he is schizophrenic a character in the telling as he is on the page. This wealthy dude, almost Bruce Wayne-ish, who is possessed by the spirit of an ancient Egyptian god, and it makes him do wacky things, among them like fighting crime. So who knows, maybe this will be the streamlined version of Moon Knight, the definitive version of Moon Knight that we get on Disney Plus, in the same way that I think James Gunn delivered the definitive version of the Guardians of the Galaxy, because they didn't have a definitive storyline for the most part That was a pretty fresh team that we saw on the screen. So hopefully that's what we get. Because you can also ask me if there's a definitive run of the Eternals going into that movie. And I would say, there's been many interpretations of the Eternals. And we kind of saw how that goes. So it could go either way here on this Moon Knight. And I'm hoping for the positive. And we'll know in a couple days. So I'm excited about that. All right. Let's get the show started. And that means talking to Katie. Katie is the balancing act here at Geekscape. When I start going too far in one direction, Katie brings me back. But I would like you to keep my co-host name out of your motherfucking mouth. This is Katie.
Hey, it's raining in LA today, you guys. And it's very cold.
It is. Last week we started the show with, we were talking about real estate prices in LA. Why don't we start with weather? Well, you know, just to really piss Matt Kelly off.
Oh, absolutely. I could tell you about the roads and how slow people are driving and how insane it all is. I mean,
Geekscape's the number three film interview show in Senegal. They really give a damn about what the weather's like in LA. So let's start there, Katie. Good call on that one. All right, that was Katie, everybody.
Oh, okay.
Katie, what are you wearing? For those listening on or maybe watching on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, or LinkedIn, what is Katie wearing?
This is my Viking hat. It's a beanie, but also it's a Viking hat, and I get all of the compliments, and this is always what I wear when it's raining because it keeps me warm. My future mother-in-law actually got this for me for Christmas, which I thought was kind of the perfect gift and right up my alley. But I have to wear it when it's cold out because it keeps my head warm.
I like it. Yeah, I do like it. And you know what, Mac? That's Shane from the Geekscape Games podcast says, you know what? Katie is the true face of Geekscape. Well, I'll tell you what, it's not going to be mine.
Oh,
are you
God.
Out of your mind?
You're going to put my face on the shirts?
I'm like, here's the problem. I'm so ugly. I'm rooting for COVID to bring back a mask mandate. Like, that's where I'm at.
Just
right
keep
here.
Wearing
I'm
it. Like, that's what I do.
Yeah.
It looks like I have a jawline. It's great.
I do go out, and when I go indoors, I do wear a mask. And you know, let's be clear. For 43 years, metaphorically, I've been wearing a mask, so I'm very comfortable with it. So here we go. All right, we got some talking to do here, Katie.
We do. We have a lot of things.
And we got a lot of things on the agenda. Luckily, we have two friends who are here to help us. That's Dustin and Zach from the $2 Late Fee podcast. They're the new podcast on the block here at the Geekscape Network, and they've come in heavy hitting. They just had Don the Dragon Wilson on the show. They've got tons of awesome interviews, especially if you're a big fan of like 80s music, 80s movies. The retro show here at Geekscape is $2 late fee, and they're doing a damn good job representing. We love having them on the network. So go subscribe to them. Here's Dustin and Zach right here.
We're live.
Zach, how are you? Yeah, there you go.
Hey, guys.
Hey, let's see what's going on with y'all. What's going on? Welcome to the network.
VHS tapes you got there.
Vintage VHS.
Yeah, what do you got there? You got Blood Fist. Blood Fist is tight. Yeah.
So Blood Fist, I've got New York Ninja, which is if you've never seen New York Ninja, this is a green VHS box cassette tape.
Ooh, loved those.
The cool thing is, like, if you haven't seen New York Ninja, it's actually a pretty forgiving status because it was a movie that was lost for a long time, over 30 years, and that was just finished. Is that right, Zach?
Last year, it came out via Vinegar Syndrome. Dustin and I have interviewed Cynthia Rothrock, Don the Dragon Wilson, who did voices, and they lost the audio. There was no audio for the movie. So basically
they shot the movie in when? They shot the movie in like 84, 83.
And then Vinegar Syndrome acquired the original reels, and they cut an entirely new movie.
Whoa.
And added all new audio to it. And
I love that.
Did they dub the whole thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That's awesome. It's phenomenal. In Voyager 3, Voyager 3 did the soundtrack to it. They're a synth wave band. We had them on the show as well. And talked extensively about New York Ninja. It's a wild movie. It's the only way I would describe it is if Troma made a kung fu movie in the 80s, this is what it would be.
But is it that like gruesome? Like the Troma thing, like,
no.
You know, sometimes it's pretty gruesome, but yeah, it's not gruesome. It's just awesome.
The director,
in a
John
way,
Liu,
a Troma movie is.
Yeah, director John Liu had, I think, the original director and actor star had intended it to be a serious film, we think. But by the end of it, it's like instant cult movie. up and down. And I'm to in. Be honest with you, Don the Dragon Wilson's voice as John Liu is he makes the movie, in my opinion.
Well, I had wanted to see it. I saw the trailer, and it's one of those things where I was like, is this real or is this just like a hipster goof? And as you're watching the trailer, you're like, no, this has to be real. This has to be a movie that's been lost. And someone found the footage and either dubbed it intentionally or, like you said, there's no audio and they're going to do their thing. I'm fascinated by it. And it is cool that they're going full 80s and doing the VHS releases.
Oh, yeah. So like that company is Lunch Meat. I wish they should sponsor us, Dustin. They should be one of our sponsors because I own a bunch of their stuff. But Lunch Meat does like retro VHS stuff. And then another company, Video Force, does these cool slip covers. And then Dustin and I made these for our interviews. It's a Cynthia Rothrock VHS kind of slip cover for our interview with Cynthia Rothrock.
That y'all had her on the show. Y'all have had some awesome. Who are your favorite guests on the show? If somebody's like, hey, I want to subscribe to this $2 late fee that I heard about on Geekscape, let me give them a shot. What's that one episode that you're like going to lead them to?
Dustin, what would it be for you?
That is an excellent question, Jonathan. You know, for me, it's more of our more recent stuff. And we've had a lot of, we've had composers and we've had actors, but we haven't had a ton of directors up until we had Jeff Canoe, the director of Revenge of the Nerds and Troop Beverly Hills and Gotcha, which is one of our personal favorites. And he came on and just, you know, he was a guy who was like top of Hollywood in the 80s, and he's not top of Hollywood anymore, as you guys can imagine. And he was ready to just like burn those bridges, destroy the world. And it was fantastic. You know, he was just telling us everything. Yeah, because he didn't have anything to lose, and it was really awesome and unfiltered. And then, of course, to just get all the stories from all sides of how the food is made. What's the how the
sausage,
mango is
or food.
Yeah. Sausage? Usually sausage, right? It was like suddenly I didn't have words in my
the
brain.
Vegan
anymore.
Twist on it.
How the veggie,
how the vegan is made.
Yeah, sure.
But you know, so that's always really fascinating to get those stories, and then just that kind of fearlessness. So Jeff Canoe is my favorite guest thus far.
What about you, Zach?
I was going to say Barry Bostwick, simply for the fact that Dustin and I tried to get Barry on the show when we first started out. The end of every episode has Barry Bostwick's Ace Hunter character from Megaforce yelling out, "The good guys always win, even in the 80s. And getting him on the show was challenging, but he did not disappoint once we had him on. And he was our first, I think the first interview we posted on YouTube, actually. Right, Dustin? And it's a fun one. Like, he was honored he appreciated the fact that we didn't just want to talk about Rocky Horror Picture Show. We actually wanted to talk about Megaforce and his entire body of career, and the fact that he's been a potter for over 30 years. He's like, you guys asked me about my pottery. Thank you. No one ever talked to me about that. You know, and that's the thing about our show that makes it a little bit different. It's like, we don't stick to the kind of by the numbers typical questions. We always dig a little bit deeper. So
I think that was the first one that I listened to and I was sold. I was like, this is awesome. They got these guys to be candid and you know, they celebrate a career that a lot of people probably maybe skim over, which is insane because people like Don the Dragon Wilson and Cynthia Rothrock, like, they made up a majority of our childhoods.
They do. And you know, and you bring up Don the Dragon Wilson, I think people often overlook him because they think of like Chuck Norris, Van Damme, Seagal. But he was a guy who was really paving the way culturally in many ways, you know, being one of the few Asian American actors on screen dominating his movies. So I think I'm hoping, thanks to Dustin and I and Geekscape, he's going to get more recognition as this year goes on, and Cynthia Rothrock as well. Both pioneers, both total badasses in their own way, you know, so champions.
If I can use that as a bit of a segue, I did go see a movie that had Michelle Yeoh in it this past weekend, and it was amazing. Have y'all seen this thing?
It's at the top of my list.
Dying to watch this movie. Good things.
This movie's effing bonkers.
There's Data. About this. There he is.
Yeah, and so this movie, and I'm going to cover Zach up real quick if you're watching on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, this is the Daniels brothers. They're the Daniels. They're not brothers, but these guys are the Daniels. they're pretty insane directors, and this is like the multiverse movie. And Michelle Yeoh is this woman who lives, you know, with her family above a laundromat. It's a failing laundromat, and you open on it, and you just know that you're in like the hands of really good directors, because they put clues in every shot, every piece of dialogue, every moment of this movie is a clue that helps you really start to kind of understand this really dense multiverse concept. And they play it out in a really fun way, in a very clear way. But you open on this woman and she's doing taxes for a failing business. She's being audited and things aren't good with her daughter. Things aren't good with her husband. Also played by, I realized later, the guy who played Data in Short Round from Indy, you know, 2. And the dialogue's great. It's in both Chinese and English and it's going back and forth. And you got to be quick with this movie because there's a lot of detail in it. But when the plot starts opening up and you realize that there's some multiverse stuff starting to infringe on her reality and they need this version of her, this woman that she plays, they need this version of her who has had no success with anything. Her marriage is in trouble. Her parenting is in trouble. Her business is in trouble. Everything's in trouble. She's pretty much a failure at everything. She's the version that can possibly save the entire multiverse because there's a multiversal entity that is starting to threaten everything. Mm. And what you do is you can kind of like phase different versions of yourself from alternate realities and channel them. And
via this item.
So, let's say like there's a version of Katie that's amazingly good at martial arts. Mm-hmm. Katie can channel that version, or Katie can be like an incredible mathematician for a moment because she channels the crazy mathematician.
Awesome.
Okay. Or there's an alternate reality where like Katie's, you know, hands are made out of beehives and she can send bees at people, like insane mm-hmm. realities that shouldn't even exist.
Maggot.
But Katie can channel these. And for the moment, Katie has those powers. Right. And so channeling those abilities from all these different multiverses are what's going to cause this pretty average person to help save the multiverse.
Wow.
And things happen very quickly in this movie. You really have to stick with this movie because it's very dense and comes at you very quickly. It's also very rewarding and very funny and really well paced. And this actor I'm like, who is this dude who plays the husband? Because he starts doing martial arts in the movie very quickly and he's playing a pretty average dude until the martial arts start busting out and you realize he's the person who's like leading her through this multiversal concept. I'm like, who is this dude? You find out later. Yes, it is the dude who played Short Round in Temple of Doom.
It's amazing.
And he's awesome. And anybody who watches this movie is probably going to come out of it being like, why doesn't he get the fedora in the next Indiana Jones movie? Like, why don't they just give the fedora and the whip to this actor? Because he's incredible. He is incredible. And I want him to make the giant comeback because this movie was awesome. And I have a million great things to say about this movie, but definitely go see it. And like, make sure you don't take a pee break. Cause like I said, it's very dense, but it's very cool. And it comes at you very fast. You're going to love this movie. Every single person here is going to love this movie. Everybody listening to this is going to love this movie.
You didn't take a pee break or you? No, you did.
Guys. I actually did take a pee break and I gave Heidi the job. I gave Heidi the job of like, hey, can you tell me like the big, this is the danger in this movie.
Yeah, do like, that.
Can you listen, you stay out of this.
Okay.
Yeah, I was like, can you recap? I was like, I got to go to the restroom. I'm sorry. This movie is so insane. I got to go to the restroom. And I came back and she tried to recap it and it,
well, and you're also in the live theater, and I would have punched you.
What are you talking about? You can't go to the movies in a theater? You can't go to the bathroom? You can't leave the bathroom?
You're talking during the movie.
Explain, what did I miss, Heidi?
Katie, it wasn't like we were like, hey, what's going on in the movie? Like, I don't, like, how's Mark's hearing? Like, oh, no, so, I,
great.
I turn to Heidi and I say,
about the theaters we go to. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. I say, hey, I gotta go. I'm so sorry. And then she, you know, I come back and said, so what happened? And she tells me.
She knows she's talking about her.
She came in to tell you.
Heidi came in.
Come
Heidi,
and knock on my door.
We're talking about how you had, you can't hear them, but we're talking about how you had to recap the, like a few minutes when I stepped out of Everything Everywhere All at Once and you had to recap it.
That was very loud.
And it was loud in the apartment. Yes. Yes. What I did in the apartment was very loud. But in the theater, not so loud. And we had fun. That was good.
Unless someone has their phone out, then he gets loud.
The person in front of me did get their phone out.
Phone away.
And I say, put the phone away or I break it. No, that's my go-to.
You don't say where I break it.
Sometimes I say I break it, Heidi. And then I kick a little bit of their...
Call the police. The phone police.
Well,
that reminds me
of... put your phone away very sternly, and then I kick a little bit of their seat.
I saw a Predator in the theater on my 11th birthday. Came out in 87, I think. And this couple in front of me, same thing happened. The husband
cell phones.
They weren't invented yet.
Now he came back. He came back, and the wife started recapping the whole movie to him. What he missed.
How long was he in the bathroom?
I guess it was long enough to see Dylan like cover himself in mud. And she's like, and then he covers himself in mud. And I'm like, full loud voice. I'm like, what is going on right now? So, anyways, I feel your pain.
No, well, so I'm racing to the bathroom. I'm racing back, and honestly, I come into the theater and there's insanity on the screen, and I think to myself, I think I know what's happening. Like, there's an alternate dimension or reality, and it's playing into this, and it was kind of hinted at earlier in the movie, and now they're actually showing it, and this is hilarious, and I'm just going to sit down and I'm going to take the lump of like missing 5 minutes that were really fucking hilarious, and I want to rewatch the movie because, again, like, it's pretty dense in details.
Can we talk about Michelle Yeoh? Fun. Just the fact that she is, people may not know the fact
she's
that Michelle...
98 years old. She looks fantastic.
Whoa, didn't know that part.
Yeah,
okay.
She was making kung fu martial art movies back in the 80s with Cynthia Rothrock. Like, and she's a badass. Like, she can go.
Yeah,
she was amazing. And I honestly, when I was looking to see who this co-star was with her, I was like, is she somebody who's worked with Michelle Yeoh from the 80s? Because I remember all those films, and they had some pretty incredible martial artists. And then when I found out it was my man Short Round.
Data?
Oh, man, all the respect for Data on that. Because he has been doing martial arts and stunts for the last 30 years. Yeah. And you see him on like the crew list of a lot of these films when you look at the IMDb. I'm really happy that he's back in front of a camera, because you think that he just, he became a stuntman. It's so cool. He went to the background. This dude needs some gigs.
Yeah.
And that is so wonderful too, about like that kind of thing where like you think that actors have just gone and just like gone by the wayside or like burnt their bridges or whatnot, but then they come back. They've been working for forever. And like, that's what those overnight successes always are. It's they've been working through all this stuff or helping out. I find that fascinating, and I hope he does get a big resurgence out of
that
all
this. Dude killed him.
That's kind of like one of the aspects of our show that we love talking about, is like some of these actors you might have forgotten about, like Matt Adler from North Shore and Whitewater Summer and Teen Wolf.
I love Matt Adler.
And then you realize, well, that guy kind of transitioned to behind the scenes and does a lot of ADR, and he's happy with that. But people are like, want to see him back on screen. You know, all these North Shore fanatics. Well, I want to see North Shore Part 2. And then he's like, that's not going to happen, guys. I'm not.
And I think John Stockwell is somebody who did that.
Ooh,
right?
Yes. Another
like,
great actor.
He started out, he's like in Carrie, and he starts out in these movies in the
80s.
It was Christine, and then he, you know, becomes a director, and we don't hear. We're like, what happened to that dude from Christine? He became a director, and he's a really like he was a prolific director there for a long stretch.
I do want to find someone who hasn't seen Christine and then accidentally show them Carrie instead. Like, I feel like that's.
I want to.
They're best friends, Christine and Carrie. They're good friends. They shared lockers.
Yeah. I kind of want to do that too, but I want to show them Cars instead. So,
amazing.
Cars. A kid who wants to see Cars, and you show him Christine instead.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I want to see Clifford. Great. Here's Cujo.
Why not? Perfect. It's probably better.
All about dogs.
Yeah, as if Clifford's any less destructive than Cujo. Clifford is a fucking hazard.
That's true.
I mean, you're gonna need something.
Whimsical, but
he's big. He's red. It's the worst.
How
combo.
Is he not? He's destroying the entire city. We've talked about this on the show.
He's racist.
He's incredible.
Also,
wait,
I mean,
what?
Clifford,
he's communist.
Did he come on the podcast and just burn everybody?
He's big and red. He's a communist,
and he takes massive poops.
There's nothing good about Clifford, really. Let's just say.
Oh, good to know. I love that you have a hard stance on Clifford.
I want to see the Clifford movie where they're following Clifford with like a, you know, a giant piece of machinery just to pick his ass, like pick up his crap.
They like, shoot it like Cloverfield. Oh, point, yeah. They don't quite mm-hmm. see him.
we're like talking about, well, we are on the topic of multiverses. So here you go. You take Maximum Overdrive with that Green Goblin truck pushing mm-hmm. the poops down the road. And, you know, Christine's leading the way. And
what were we? Andy Ratinger, my good friend, when we had this conversation about Clifford being a kaiju on the show, he made a Photoshop of Clifford versus Godzilla out of the Kong versus Godzilla graphic.
I see it.
That's awesome.
It's like, there we go. So speaking of things that maybe didn't have a place in pop culture for 15 years, but have made a comeback, maybe it hasn't. Paramount Plus put out their Halo series that should have come out 15 years ago. Like, how was this not a freaking movie in 2005?
I'm not sure. Right? Back 2001. When it was a little bit more popular. I mean, it still holds the popularity among the diehard fans and everybody who just loves gaming in general. But what'd you think of the actual show itself, Linda?
Okay, so...
Do you just have a seizure?
Okay, so all stop. Let me just grind this to a halt. Great question, Katie. Let's not answer.
I played through the first three of the Halos, and I enjoyed it. But I didn't play through it for the freaking story. I don't think anybody plays through Halo for the freaking story, right?
I mean, like, I tried to.
Well, then you've got these fans who are like, oh, but I read the book and the Halo lore and all this stuff. And it's fine. I guarantee that's not why you play the freaking game. And I think we would have been A-okay with a pew-pew-pew Spartans versus, like, elites and all that stuff, like, show where it's basically a pew-pew-pew action show with a very high concept. The deal here, though, and, I mean, obviously, every director that we've heard wanted to take a swipe at Halo, from Peter Jackson to who's the guy from South Africa who did District 9?
I didn't know that.
All these incredible directors are—they're all putting their imprint on Halo, and we're not getting their versions. We finally get the Halo on the Paramount Plus, and it's a 1-hour series. It's a 1-hour episode. It's a 1-hour show. And meanwhile, the one it's going to be compared to, and it should be compared to it, is The Mandalorian, which is about a 30-minute show, which is also very high concept. But it's also very thin on the dialogue, and it's very much like a simple Western story for the beginning. It's starting to branch out into more Star Wars lore, and that stuff might be the downfall of the Mandalorian when it gets too dense into the Star Wars world expansion. Yep. But, you know, with this Halo show... and Frank Bowen, who I worked with in video games, is a really knowledgeable gamer. He says Navy SEALs on CBS did that. Just wrap it in Halo gear. Just make it a mission-based show. Mm. Make it an objective-based show. Keep it short. Keep it to 30, 40 minutes an episode. Because every time the Spartans are blowing up crap in Master Chief's on screen, blowing up stuff, the show works. Whenever you start getting into the government space politics stuff, which I don't remember from the games being that big, you start having... the human stuff in there, it's a little bit of a snooze fest. Wow. It's not fun. I mean, and it's an impressive show visually. All the aliens look amazing. The alien homeworld stuff looks amazing. I don't mind the expansion there because it feels new. I don't mind like the action stuff looks incredible. It's a really impressive technical show, but the writing about the human stuff, like I don't really want it.
Are you just too politicked out?
No, I'm all for seeing what the fuck happens with Clarence Thomas and all this stuff. Like, I'm down with politics, man. I'm down with like
put everything Clarence politics. Thomas in Halo, and you got me.
I'm down with this. Yeah, let's be like, run. But what I don't like is that we have an action sequence that seems to be progressing the character we care about, and we cut from it to characters we don't care about, and have no investment in, and they're suddenly having a little bit of human intrigue that we aren't invested in at all. We are invested in the high stakes. Can I get this over there?
In terms of just a show.
Like, I mean, let's face it. That's all Mandalorian's been is like when it was good. It's like fetch missions.
Yeah, I know.
And it's not really all we need with the Halos. And it's turning into like it's trying to do more than it needs to. Mm. And it's like they're working hard to be dull.
And Dustin and Zach, did you guys play the games at all or do you continue to?
Yes.
Yes, indeed. Dustin, yes. Do you still play? Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I mean, well, look, as a game, right, there's probably not many multiplayer experiences that started out, you know, 20 some years ago. Xbox really kind of set the stage and Halo set the stage for that, other than maybe like 007. But well, really, like, you know, those LAN parties that I used to have and just like mm-hmm. connecting the machines. And like, I was like, this is amazing. And recently got back into Halo Infinite, equally as amazing and fun. I'm not precious with any of these characters, don't really care. Although I was thrown in the show because it's like all of a sudden, you know, you got these rebel camps saying like they're afraid of the Spartans and they're afraid of the Marines.
You start out and Spartans aren't popular.
This is weird. Like, you know, and I understand that we're kind of separate from the lore a bit before the Covenant has kind of taken over and all that other stuff. But it is a very strange, it is a very strange move story-wise because you're very thrown. Like the Spartans are always the good guys. Why are they hated here? Oh, because they're like on assassination missions for various government entities. Yeah.
The political intrigue stuff, like, who cares?
Who cares?
Just go kablooey and, like, just go over here and have to do some kablooey and then take this over there and do some kablamo. And that's, like, kind of what I'm in for. Fly this over there and kablizza blizza. And, like, that's my Halo. You know what I mean?
Like I want to. Talking in, like, comic book bubbles right
that's
now.
All I want. That's all I want. I don't.
But, glam, like, zaps, boom. Yeah.
They immediately give Master Chief, like, a human to take care of, right? And I'm like, I don't know about this.
Right.
I think it does kind of come back to the fact that, like, a lot of people, and especially a lot of the fan base of the players, didn't really play the game for the storyline. And so there wasn't much interest in the storyline to begin with. When you're setting this in a medium that is specifically about the visuals and the storyline.
Well, they played it for the kablamo and the kablizz-blizz. Mm-hmm. And the Kawabba Wabba, and like Frank Bowen says, another Disney Plus show that's pretty good is Star Wars Bad Batch, the mother.
Yeah.
Like that Star Wars Bad Batch stuff where you got this cool squad of badasses and they got to do a mission every episode. There's a overarching storyline. Do that. But the density of the human politic garbage. Sorry, guys. Like, you're talented writers. I just don't understand the edict to have put that much stuff into a show. It did not. There's a great 30-minute show in here.
It's a lot.
You just got to rip all that other stuff out of here.
Interesting.
Wouldn't you say, Dustin? Dustin, you watched this thing, right?
I did. I did watch this thing. And I thought, you know, and when I put it in and I was like, oh, this is like legitimately 57 minutes. I was like, oh, God. Like, I really went, because it wasn't even like a clean 44, you know, 42. It was like 57. And I was like, oh, no. And I felt a little bit like you, Jonathan, with the movie where I'm like, oh, if I leave to go to the bathroom, I'm going to be confused. And I don't want that in a show. I want quick. I think 30 minutes is 22 minutes is the ideal show for me. As Zach knows very well, right? As Zach knows very well, 83 minutes is the ideal length of a movie.
Yeah.
I'm not invested so much in Master Chief at this particular moment. I don't know that I will keep going. Maybe I'll give it another shot, but like, there's too much content out there.
Episode 2 is better.
That's life. That's our entire existence now. Wait, give it till episode 2. Give it till episode 3.
Yeah, like, episode 2. It's like, no, I got the feeling from the opening moments of this that it was going to be a little flat. And it was going to be a little hollow. Halo hollow. It's going to be hollow. And I'll say this about like leaving an experience and coming back and thinking that you're lost here. If I came back, I didn't miss anything because it was a lot of filler. Daniels are really talented writers because when I did go to the bathroom during Everything Everywhere All at Once and I came back, they were so good at just keeping things rolling.
The bathroom test.
That thing passed the bathroom test because it was still entertaining and it still kept me rocking.
It's amazing.
I did not miss it.
Conversation that's been going on lately is because we've had all these movies that are going so long that are like they're over 90 minutes. They're going over 2 hours. How long was Batman? Almost 3? Like, I mean, people are talking about bringing back the intermission in terms of like movies, and which I think is interesting. But
bring back the editor, motherfucker.
Just make shorter movies.
When you cut that category out, those editors aren't going to
What's in it for me? I'm not going to get any gold.
But
why would I edit this thing out?
Respect to all editors because they do an amazing job. But that's the thing, especially when it comes to TV too. We don't have those commercial breaks anymore because we have streaming services. So they have like the full ability to do those full solid hour shows. Yeah. Do we need them though? That's the question.
We don't need the storyline. We do not need it. Like three of these storylines on the Halos, we did not need.
Agreed.
Dustin.
Agreed.
I was a pain on some of this stuff. I was like, take a nap.
Agreed.
Oh, something went kabliz-bliz. I'm out. I'm back.
I'm almost uncomfortable with the kabliz-bliz.
Make it more entertaining.
It kablizzed all over that alien. I like it.
I've got no vested interest in this show. I never played the game. You know, I think Mortal Kombat movies ruined it for me, where I'm like, if any movie that's based on a game moving forward is probably not going to be that great. Because I didn't play that game to know why these characters had the motivations for what they did. Sure. The trailer looked cool. I used my 7-year-old son as a measuring stick for a lot of this stuff. I'm like, what did you think? He's like, this looks cool. I'm like, okay. I show him the trailer for that Channing Tatum movie with Sandra Bullock, and he's like, this looks kind of not good. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know. I said, it's different audience.
So if he likes it, it's going to stink. But if he doesn't like it, it's probably going to be good.
Right, exactly.
Is what you're telling
That's
me.
The measurement?
Pretty much. You know, but his perspective was like, look
because
at the-
Halo was not good, but the Sandra Bullock movie was, and we'll get to that.
Yeah, I don't think it doesn't sound appealing at all. I want to watch it.
Is there kiss-kiss in this? Is there kissy-kiss-kiss?
Kiss-kiss, smooch-mooch, kiss,
I don't like kissy-kiss-kiss.
So he quotes-
Could you imagine he watches Halo and they start kissing each other? He's like, I don't like-
Just their helmets bumping up against each other.
Probably gonna be
he calls it diarrhea. He calls it diarrhea because if you go back to The Last Starfighter, if you're watching The Last Starfighter when Lance, I forget his last name, but Catherine Mary Stewart and right. Lance Guest, I think.
Lance Guest.
Kiss. Yep. And the little brother goes, diarrhea. So that stayed with Bodhi ever since. So everything's diarrhea.
What the shit? That's my favorite little brother quote from Last Starfighter is when he sees the clone of his brother and goes, what the shit?
Terrifying.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
He sees this like spongy, like fucking, what was it? It's like a algae or something version of his brother. He's got the sea anemone head, the veins and everything, and he goes, and he's like turning into a clone of his brother in his bed. He goes, what the shit? Man, we used to say that a ton as kids.
So and our parents loved it.
And he had a stack of Playboys under his bed too, the little brother.
That's true.
But yet he doesn't like people kissing.
Mary Catherine Stevens?
Catherine Mary Stewart.
Catherine Mary Stewart, she was like one of my big crushes there in the 80s. I had lots of them. I was a lonely kid.
Weekend at Bernie's.
And she was at like a Monster Mania or one of these monster things here in LA. And I was like, oh my God, there she is signing autographs. And my brother's like, you should go up and just talk to her. And I was like, oh, I can't do that. So he tweets at her. My brother is scared to come up and talk to you. We're standing like 2 hours, you know, but he like tweets at her while we're standing there. And she tweets back like, I see him, like he should come over and talk to me. Don't be such a, you know, and I was like,
hello, how are you?
And how old were you at the time?
I was mid-30s.
What the shit?
She's Canadian too, what so she's super shit? Nice.
Yeah, she was super nice. She was super nice. But she tweeted, don't be such a cowardly American. I don't know. She just tweeted at me, was like, come over and talk to me.
Is it telling though that she like had time to tweet while she was sitting there? Like what? Like she was
brother,
she was not.
Yeah, no, it kind of was.
Right?
Yeah.
Like no, she's not. There aren't that many people talking to her at all. If she's taking her phone and just tweet with you.
Nobody's at the table. I should go and talk to her. Right. And then it turned into
I see. I'll tweet her.
We had a guest on our show, Dean Cameron. Dean Cameron played Chainsaw in summer school, right?
Cool.
And he calls those conventions, this is him saying this, has-been conventions. And
yeah, I mean, there's a reality to that. There's a definite reality that hits
But then
home.
The flip side, like John Philbin, who played Turtle in North Shore, he's like, look, I love these things. I get to meet the fans and people come up to me and I make a ton of money, you know?
There you go.
And so he's happy about that. Cash. And Kathy Mary Stewart, she goes in waves. I think Night of the Comet has actually kind of gotten a resurgence of the past few years. And I don't know. She seems to becoming, gaining more popularity. She's on a lot of Hallmark and Lifetime movies, and I think Dustin likes that.
That was my favorite, is another comment. You know, senior year in college, we shot a Night of the Comet type movie called Spores with the alien spores infecting us. And like, well, we were nerds in the radio station, so we didn't get infected. My buddy Kevin and I, awesome. And then we look up and there's zombies everywhere. We ran around. We shot a 75 minute movie senior year in college.
Jesse would approve.
And that was it. And now, you know, I was going to compare it to Pontypool, that recent Canadian movie
that was good.
Where the guy, it's a great zombie film. Yeah. It's a great horror film, and it's in a radio station.
Just him, pretty much.
What's the Orson Welles one I'm talking about?
War of the Worlds.
It's like a War of the Worlds type movie. Pontypool is awesome.
Pontypool's great.
I thought that was a great one.
Zach, do you own that? Is that on the shelf next to you?
I don't, but I've seen it several times. Okay. So.
Oh, darn.
Yeah. And it reminded me of Night of the Comet and the whole radio, hiding out in the radio station type thing, and there's zombie invasion. We did mention The Lost City. This is the Sandra Bullock, Channing Tatum movie that came out this past weekend. And it also has Daniel Radcliffe. It's amazing.
Bradley Pitt. And he is hysterical in this movie.
He looks awesome.
Everybody in this movie is hysterical,
it's
Katie.
Very
I love
funny.
This movie.
Here's the thing that would like really hit home for me. It was like, I have been saying for forever that we just need another Sandra Bullock movie, like from the early 2000s, you know, late 90s or something like that. Just a pure action comedy film, like a Miss Congeniality, a Speed or anything like that. And this delivers. It's definitely like there's a point where it's Brad Pitt, Channing Tatum and Sandra Bullock all in one shot. And I just turned to Mark and I was like, we finally got it. We finally got that movie. Like, not even like 10 minutes into the movie or something.
It's
just like, it's here.
He's awesome. And yeah. Heidi was watching Amy Poehler's Lucille Ball documentary, the Lucy and Desi documentary. And Amy Poehler did this one and it was really good. And you just start to appreciate how amazing Lucille Ball was as a performer. Mm-hmm. And Buster Keaton was like one of her mentors.
Yeah.
Mm. And you see it in Lucille Ball's performances. And I love Buster Keaton and Lucille Ball is on another level. And then you see this movie. And obviously you're a fan of Sandra Bullock. Like, she does physical comedy and you can pretty much see what the influence Lucille Ball had on Sandra Bullock. Cause the physical comedy is amazing in this movie. She's great.
Yeah.
And this is like such a great comeback. I mean, not comeback because she's always been great.
Right.
It's not like she
had
a bomb
really go
at
anywhere,
any point.
It's kind of like we were talking about with some of the other
actors.
She went
to take care of her kids because
she lived her life.
She was sick of Hollywood. Like, she went to live her life. Somebody broke into her freaking house. Y'all know. I mean, she had a bad relationship. Somebody broke into her freaking house where she lives with her kids. And she'd had enough of this garbage. And this is a great way to, like, this movie's awesome. It's a classic Sandra Bullock movie. And Channing Tatum's hilarious.
I hope we get more of. Yeah, Channing Tatum's always hilarious. I'm glad that he's really exercising his funny bone because he's a pretty funny dude.
He's amazing. Obviously, like you said, Brad Pitt's great. I loved all the supporting cast. Daniel Radcliffe is chewing up everything he's got. The script is the part where I was like, okay, this movie's going to stink. Like, you're watching the trailer and you're like, I really hope this is the movie promised in the trailer. Yeah. And as I'm sitting down watching it, I kept waiting for like the script to fail. Does that make sense with some of these comedies?
Well, it felt like it might be like an Amy Schumer type of movie. Like, it might go that way. I forget what's the movie with.
You take my Amy Schumer out of your goddamn mouth.
I love Amy Schumer. I think she's hilarious.
I was about to say. Right? I was trying to do a Will Smith there.
But no, there was the movie where she gets lost with her mom in like South America or something like that. And like that movie, it was like, almost hit it. And I felt like this might be that movie. Totally not. I thought it like knocked it out of the park hilarity wise.
Whether they're ad libs, improvs, whether it was actually the stuff that was scripted, every piece of dialogue is good and every moment's good. And the action directing is actually pretty well done. It was fun.
I liked
it
way more than
classic
Uncharted.
Hollywood way. As they're exploring at the end of the movie and they're like, okay, this storyline on the exploration and the adventures coming together, I was like, this shit's fucking taking Uncharted's lunch. Like,
it is.
This is a much better adventure movie than Uncharted.
Which is funny because, like, just the logic, the pure, like, movie logic of it all made way more sense than Uncharted. And, like, to be fair, I thought, again, Uncharted was a fun popcorn movie, you know. But,
no, it wasn't.
But it was a fun popcorn movie.
There was a fight in a Papa John's. Like, it was... It was horrible. I mean,
it was.
No, it was. It was bad.
Also, it's Sandra Bullock. And who?
I try not to hate on movies, but Uncharted was one of those movies where it's like, let's have an ancient keyhole that is part of this treasure in a Papa John's.
That was in the video game, right? Straight up.
Straight up. Yeah.
The executive it was the owner.
And they didn't even change Papa John's to something else. They were just like, that, the key of the ordinance now. Yeah.
Well, I think in the movie when they went through the Divine Comedy to find the source of the treasure, they were like, "Oh, look, the ancient, you know, this is old. This is from the monks wrote about the Papa John's." Right. Like, no, there's nothing there. This is it was just hokey. And this is fun. Yeah. Well, and if they were going to do something like that, they would have had a reason for it because these were really creative writers.
I'll tell you what sold this for me when I saw the trailer. First of all,
diarrhea.
It's been everywhere.
Right. One of my favorite subgenres is romantic action comedies. So Romancing the Stone is one of my all-time favorite movies. So check right there. Then there's variations on that theme of movies in the 80s, like High Road to China with Tom Selleck, Jake Speed, Alan Quartermain in Lost City of Gold, you know, like
does that one hold up?
It's cheesy, but you know what? Dustin and I are always saying nostalgia is a hell of a drug, right? Because you look back and you're like, oh, that movie was great. And then you watch and you're like,
these are the ones Indiana Jones brought back.
Yes.
And there were tons of them in the 80s. These are the ones Indiana Jones brought back. Totally. Yes.
And give me Romancing the Stone any day out of all those movies. And I'm like, I'm watching this and I'm going, this has enough elements there. And then you throw a bad Brad. I love Brad Pitt when he's playing a side character, not when he's the lead actor, but when like in True Romance or California, you know, like
Floyd,
something wacky.
Yeah. It's incredible. No, I was stunned because I didn't watch too many trailers going into this. It's one of my favorite things to do, to not watch trailers and just go in blind to a movie. And I was like, Brad Pitt's in this? What the hell? And he plays such a Brad Pitt character, but like so effortlessly. It's just like, I'm in good hands here. It's hilarious. Yeah.
Is Robert Zemeckis, did he do Romancing the Stone?
He did. It was his first movie. Yep.
It's pretty incredible. Could you imagine coming out of the freaking gate with Romancing the Stone?
It's that holds up, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes. I watched it recently.
Terrific soundtrack,
it's insane.
Too.
But like you go, imagine going Romancing the Stone, Back to the Future, in the trilogy, in Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
In there. Yeah. Like, holy crap. And obviously, like, 10 years after all that, plus like What Lies Beneath is incredible and obviously
underrated
Castaway, but What Lies Beneath is a phenomenal horror.
It really
movie.
Is good.
I love that movie.
Yep.
And again, incredible script. And I think, you know, no offense to Ruben Fleischer, but with the Uncharted, but I think every element worked on this one and it started with that script. The script was really, really, really smart. And then you have two performers who, you know, I think, like the performance, the ad-libbing in this, did it feel like ad-libbing to you, Katie? Some of this,
a bit. It felt very off the top of the head, but I don't know if that's just the commitment to, I mean, Sandra always seemed to have that sort of style in her acting, and Channing does as well. And I never would have thought a Channing Tatum and Sandra Bullock movie would work. I'm not going to lie. Like, I was like, that seems.
You didn't.
No, I didn't.
Disparity?
No, not even the age disparity.
She's
just
hot to trot.
Well, they're both hot to trot, but like, it's I guess I hold Sandra Bullock in like such high revere, and Channing Tatum, I'm like, oh yeah, he's just like the fun, funny guy.
Don't you do that to my Channing. He's 22 Jump Street,
21 Jump Street.
21 Jump Street
is the finest comedic performance.
It's a great, but you don't, like, those
keep my Channing Tatum out of your motherfucking mouth.
In the comedy fandom, like, I never would have put those two in the same movie. But now that I see them in the same movie, like, it blew my mind and I loved it. It worked. It worked really well. And I can't tell you why I wouldn't have put them together in the first place, but, like, I can tell you that I want them doing more movies together.
Right. Well, I'm not going to lie. Sandra Bullock does not do it for me necessarily and hasn't for many years. I think Miss Congeniality was like the last movie I saw her in where I'm like, that was good. She's done, in my opinion.
Love Potion number 9.
What's that?
No, but Love Potion number 9. The Melissa McCarthy movie. I think you're right on that one.
That
one
movie
there's a couple where
it was
not good.
Yeah, the heat.
Yeah.
It got a little bit rough. There were a couple of rough times, but.
Yeah. But I will say.
But I thought the one where. I thought the one where she had to be blind was funny, where she was like the Bird Box. That was hilarious. You didn't think that was funny? You didn't think the Bird Box comedy was funny?
Oh yeah, you know, the Oscar grab. Found footage hilarious.
Well, she did one recently for Netflix where she was an ex-con, like a hardened.
Oh,
and yeah. Hilarious.
It had potential. It had potential
to be funny.
Yeah, you know, not knee slapper, more
did
like
you
an
watch,
elbow.
You
slapper.
Watched it?
Oh, I watched it.
Really? How do you have time? That's weird.
Between all the stuff I have to do, because at the end of the night, my wife typically doesn't want to watch the movies that we cover on $2
late fee. That one?
And she's like, oh, it's Sandra Bullock. Well, there's a backstory. I in a roundabout way kind of know her. So save that for an off air conversation.
Okay. Father of some of her kids, but I don't know her.
Oh, interesting.
Huh. You tell her Jonathan and Geekscape is a big fan.
Well, I will tell you that she's a very nice person outside of, you know, genuinely good person.
We had a scavenger hunt in high school.
To find Sandra Bullock.
She'd first moved to Austin. It was hip. And we had a scavenger hunt. And
like Midnight Madness?
It was like get a Midnight picture Run. Or it's like get an autograph from a celebrity, get a picture with a celebrity. And yes, it was Austin, and like all these hip people were starting to move to Austin by the late 90s, and it was like, okay, get a picture with it. By that time, like Matthew McConaughey was like playing the bongos naked and doing
the
all that
Starbucks or whatever. Yeah.
So you could probably with a little bit of effort find a celebrity in Austin on any given night, you know, because there were places to hang out. But we're high school kids, so we're like, we can't go down to 6th Street and find them in any of the clubs. But one of our friends knew where supposedly Sandra Bullock lived in the neighborhood. So we drive over to this neighborhood, nice neighborhood, and it's like, we think that's her house. We go to knock on it. Forrest Whitaker and her both answer the door. Double points. What? Yeah, they were hanging out. Yeah, so and she was super cool, and she's like, yeah, I'll, you know, scavenger hunt, cool, what's it all about? And that's so awesome. That was the only time I met
such a
Sandra
random
Bullock.
It's like a weird
super
dream
cool. It was super cool. Yeah, it was fun.
Dream about a scavenger hunt.
Forrest Whitaker. Nice enough to us as high school kids, and yeah,
thank yeah
you. Did Forrest Whitaker look at you and say,
that
what are you doing here?
Well, speaking of tag, did y'all watch the Oscars last night?
I did. I feel like I was the only one watching Oscars live, and like I kept being like,
"You were."
I was
the only one.
Yeah, right. I was like,
"Well, a bar group of friends, Katie, you were." I have not watched the Oscars in about 20 years. I don't find them fun to watch. I think they're. I think they're pretty disconnected with a lot. That does not make for a very entertaining show.
No, but it does make for great Twitter comedy.
That being said, agreed, when things do connect.
Good segue.
They connect quite a bit. So what am I watching last night? We're watching Picard, which is not bad. We're watching the Picard season 2. And then we
better
watched
than Halo,
my
favorite. Better than that Sandra Bullock prison movie?
Okay.
I have not watched the Sandra Bullock prison movie. Sandy, I'm still holding out hope. I enjoy it.
Better than
it's
Picard
not better than The Blind
one?
Side. I think it's better than Picard season. No, it's about on par with Picard season 1. So then we start watching the movie, the show, my favorite show, which is Winning Time on HBO Max. Lakers. I love that show. That show is awesome and it's fun. And it makes me super sad that Will Ferrell and Adam McKay aren't friends anymore.
Oh no, really?
So
because of the show, he cast
John C. Reilly
instead of Will,
and Will wanted it.
Oh, yeah.
They cost him their friendship.
Technically, not really amicably, but they haven't really talked since.
Oh no,
Adam McKay wanted to cast John C. Reilly as Jerry Buss, and Will Ferrell wanted it, and Adam McKay was like. He offered the part to John C. Reilly without telling Will.
Tell him.
And John called
messed up.
That's weird.
Will and was
that's
like,
weird.
"Hey, this is happening.
Hey, I'm your best friend, your business partner. Just offered me a role.
That's real weird.
Messed up.
Adam, Adam will admit. I think he's admitted publicly that he handled it wrong. Yeah. And it's like,
and damn. Will doesn't really talk about it. He's just like,
the show is solid. So we're watching the show, and it ends, and I check my phone, and Katie goes. What just happened? And I'm thinking, what did Katie's the only person I knew that watched the Oscars. So like it's gotta be the Oscars. So I look at the text from Katie. I then go to Twitter and all I see is Will Smith, Chris Rock. And I was like, holy crap, we got to find the clip of this. Something's happening. And I find that uncensored clip of A, the bad joke. It's not a funny joke. Chris Rock's joke about what Jada, it's a bad joke. Mm-hmm. It's punching down, and it's just about a movie that's 25 years effing old. Yeah. So, like, it's not a good joke. But maybe he's performing at the AMC 16 later. Then Will Smith walks up to stage, and you're like, what is happening? And then you just see the kablism. Yeah. Kablism blamboom.
I hate that.
And then he walks away and goes, you keep my wife's name out of your motherfucking mouth. And I'm like, with Katie say, like, what just happened?
Yeah. Well, the actual broadcast feed, they cut the audio for a while. And that's how you knew it was real, because you could see Chris Rock just say, Will Smith just slapped the shit out of me. And
he should have made an Ali 2 joke. If he's going to make a joke about G.I. Jane 2, you might as well at that moment be like, I just starred in
Bring It Up 10 years. Yeah.
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 Why not?
Work it back.
Well, Mark wanted him to say Welcome to Earth afterwards, but but
that would have been good.
I thought it was kind of commendable for Chris Rock, because he kept going. And that was a very professional move, and like the only move you can do at that point. And, you know, and then, of course, there's all these conspiracy theories that, like, you know, it was planned or whatever.
I'm only hearing them from Shane. You can see padding on the side of Chris Rock's face. I'm like, he's black, you racist.
Oh, God. But
I'm kidding, Shane.
Great for ratings a year from now. What a great what a great stunt this is.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
That like was really uncomfortable, though. Was I mean, Will Smith won the award for best actor afterwards, and then he gave this speech about being a vessel of love, and then it got unbelievably uncomfortable, because he could have used that time, and like he was crying the whole time. Obviously, he was very regretful of things that he did, but in that moment wasn't vocalizing them, which that's gotta be a crazy stage to have those moments. And especially in a global setting. My therapist was like, he needs therapy. And I was like, well, yeah.
But who doesn't?
Who doesn't at this point, especially after the pandemic, all the things that everybody's going through.
And meanwhile, Ronald McDonald's like, he needs a Big Mac. Like, of course the therapist is going to say somebody needs therapy.
Can we talk though about maybe the biggest moment that has been overlooked pretty much right while when this happened, with the reaction shots in the audience. Mel Gibson was shocked by this. And then I'm looking at it going, oh, Mel Gibson's Welcome Back to Hollywood. Okay, well, that's good to know.
Right.
And so I'm watching this
a shot of Mel Gibson.
He's
a seat filler.
He's a seat filler.
I will say that Amy Schumer's joke afterwards was the only joke that was made after that kind of cleared the air just a little bit. She had been in a Spider-Man costume, lowered to the stage, and like was like stuck. And she's like, I was spending that whole time getting out of that Spider-Man costume. Did I miss anything? It was really weird in here. Something must have happened. And I thought that was the only thing that seemed to touch on it and let it go. Without making it a deal. But yeah, everything changed from that moment on. And it was already kind of, because the Oscars are uncomfortable to begin with, but like it got real uncomfortable after that.
Love makes you do crazy things, you know? Like, it's just, I don't think that's a valid excuse for
And he has since apologized, and he said that he's incredibly embarrassed by his actions.
Do you do? The Academy is saying that they're investigating this whole thing and they're looking into it.
Response ever. We're investigating something that happened live in front of the entire world.
Yeah. The whole world saw it. We're going to investigate. Yep. We're going to take fingerprints off of Chris Rock's face. Do you take back the Oscar? You can't, right?
No.
Do you not give it in the first place? Like, what the hell do you do?
They probably should have at some point. I mean, the shocking thing to me is that no one went over to him and was just like, please just get out of the building, right? Because it's just such a strange move that, you know, regardless of your definition of assault, because there's all these people. The whole thing makes me really sad, honestly. The whole thing makes me so sad, because you have all these people defending it and they're like, you know, oh, that wasn't a slap, that you calling that assault, you know, and they're the same people that are also being like, well, if it was my wife, I'd go up with a closed fist. And they're also the same people who have some violent trauma in their background. Yeah, right. So like you just see like what's the normal. It makes you, I mean, certainly this whole notion of gratitude that, you know, I didn't grow up getting hit with a baseball bat or something. And I'm like, that's not a slap. That's not assault. But just the fact that no one walked over to Will Smith and was like, you got to get out of the room.
Well, I mean, Bradley Cooper apparently, and also Denzel Washington came up to him and were trying to calm him down. I'm just curious because I've heard that Chris Rock has made a statement that like it was a bad joke and he shouldn't have gone that far, but I haven't seen him make like an official statement. I'm wondering how Chris Rock is doing. He's said, I'm not pressing charges. We do know that officially, but it was interesting to me that people went to Will and not to Chris. Yeah. Who just
I think it sends a bad message, I think, ultimately, because, I agree with you, Dustin, like being at least taken out of the building to talk about it, cool down from it, and then come back from commercial and say, you know what, we have addressed this, like address it versus just going glazing over it. Because I think this really fuels the people that are annoyed with Hollywood and say Hollywood is, you can do whatever you want, because that is a do whatever I want kind of moment, you know, where he just walked up and did his thing. Yep. And I'm not comparing the two, but you know, someone like Kanye would jump on stage when Taylor Swift was doing her thing. And it's like, wait a minute, where's the respect? And again, a lot of kids watch this stuff, you know, with their families. And so kids see this. And his own kid tweets out, that's how we do it or whatever.
Right, which was really concerning. Yeah.
Who tweeted that? I thought it was Jada.
Jaden
tweeted that. That's how we do it. And I'm like,
that's
how we do it. Yeah. Really? Because
in our family. Well, and that's the concerning thing too, is that like it's showing a lot of just like the perspectives of like, like crush him. And like, to be fair, that was a terrible joke about someone with a disability that is like very hesitantly approached this in a public way, which is like shocking and amazing that she's doing that and speaking.
And she looked great.
And she looked amazing. She looked freaking amazing. And like her look was enough when the joke happened. I was like, yeah, that was not in good taste. And then I was thinking it was going to move on. But then like you just saw Chris Rock stop and then you start seeing Will. And I was like, wait, what? I was so confused. Yeah. And it was scary. It's scary because like, if that can happen on live television, like what else can? And like in these kind of really tenuous times, that wasn't the place. And like, there was a lot that went into that moment that I think hopefully as Hollywood progresses into the near future, that kind of stuff doesn't have a path anymore. And sheds light on these things in a more public manner.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yep. I think I'm going to land somewhere with Dustin. Like, this is kind of depressing. And I listening to that speech, it just, you know, there are people jumping to the whole conclusion of like, oh, it's abuser kind of conversation. It's kind of abuser speak to be like, love makes you do crazy things. I didn't mean it, baby. Like that kind of thing. Yep. And it's like, I don't know. Everybody here is in a pressure cooker and nobody's acting to their best. No. At their best, you know, their bandwidth is so narrow and they're under microscopes at all times. Yeah. And this is kind of, the whole thing's gross.
Yeah.
And if The Rock, I think The Rock should host. No one's going to the stage if The Rock does, this. This is why John Cena, The Rock, and Batista need to be the only people on stage during the Oscars. And they can say whatever they want. They can say whatever the hell they want. And nobody's going to take them to the stage. You're going to think twice. You're going to be like halfway out your seat. Be like, did he just disrespect me? Oh, yeah, that's The Rock. I think I'm good. I think I'm going to sit right here.
Sit on that.
And what else are you going to say? Yeah, or have Ted Cruz. Make Ted Cruz jokes. He's not going to get up and do anything. You disrespect his wife.
He's probably gonna come up and like lick.
No, I think Ted Cruz would go up and start licking Chris Rock's boots. He would start licking Chris Rock's. He'd vote for him for president.
Yep. Whatever.
And Andy Ratinger, who's a dear friend, he's in the Facebook watching this, and he says, "Or Cynthia Rothrock. Let's have Cynthia."
Well, there you go.
If you're a fan of Cynthia Rothrock, you got to subscribe to this thing. It's called $2 late fee. Yes. I love these boys. They do a great show. If you love the 80s, if you love music from the 80s, movies from the 80s, just retro culture, this is the show for you. These guys are great. I love them so much.
And can I say
we love you.
First of all, like, Dustin and I are so happy to be a part of your network and be with you guys and be a part of the family. And there's potential down the road for something big involving Cynthia Rothrock and Don the Dragon Wilson in the summer. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah. I think we should do something. Like, when I see the access y'all have to some of our favorite childhood stars, and we're all in LA, we're all here, we're all local. Maybe we can put something together.
We're all driving in the rain.
To San Diego Comic Con. Maybe we can make something cool together. I like it.
Synergy.
Geekscape is, subscribe to the $2 late fee. You're going to find out a little bit more about that. And, you know, who knows? Maybe here in LA, you might be able to sit in a theater and see a little bit of something that we put together. Mm-hmm. Do not do stand up ahead of time. That'll be Katie.
Oh, my God.
Do not come up and slap it. Yeah. I mean, that. Listen, I don't want to talk too much about that lady doing stand up here in LA, but here in LA, folks, this is what happened. The AMC 16 in Burbank had a broken projector. And so the people were just sitting in their seats waiting for their movie to start. That didn't start. And this woman got up because her daughter said, maybe you should go up and try your stand up on them. And she got up. And while these people were sitting there waiting for a movie that wasn't going to play, she started doing her stand up. And it was really cringy. It wasn't funny. But where I got involved was I said, who cares? Her Twitter, the people are dunking on her on Twitter. And people are like, look how terrible she is. Look how much she sucks. Yeah. This and that. And I said, you know what? Fucking respect the hustle, dog. Like, she stinks, but she got up there and did her comedy, and people are allowed to boo. People are allowed to throw their drinks. They're not allowed to throw their drinks. That's assault. People are allowed to boo. People are allowed to get up.
They can definitely slap her. They learned that that doesn't matter.
People are allowed to go get a manager and tell her to shut the hell up. People are allowed to do whatever the hell they want. But I got to respect the fact that this weird lady was like, I'm going to do something effing weird, and I'm going to get up there, and I'm going to risk the booze. And people on Twitter who it didn't affect in a million years started dunking on her. And I was like, what's wrong with you people?
Yeah.
Like, this shit didn't affect you. Like, I want more people to be weird. I want Katie to, like, do weird crap. I want her to have a show on every corner in Sherman Oaks.
Listen, I do.
I want Zach to do crazy crap in Santa Monica.
I'm sure I've got.
I want more weird people doing weird stuff in public that is not harming anybody. And this world would be so much more interesting than it is now. And I write something like that, and suddenly some fool people. I'm getting all sorts of tweets for 24 hours. I'm getting tweets like somebody was like, nobody asked her to do her comedy in front of anybody. You're supporting rape culture. Oh, and somebody else was like, it was fucked.
Well, and then to be fair, it was like, I think there is really a time and a place for the weird, and especially for people who are
all the time.
If I went to the movie theater, yes, as I think you've already said, I would get up and walk out because I'm not having that kind of a comedy show, especially.
Listen, if Dustin, I'm Zach,
sober,
and I went to see this documentary, Moonfall. It did not play. They had a broke this documentary, this Nat Geo, this Nat Geo special, Moonfall. We went to see it. Yeah. It did not happen. The projector broke. And if Dustin or Zach had gotten up and been like, time for my top five, I'd have been like, fuck yeah, do your type five. And if it would have stunk, it would have been a tight heckly. It would have been a roast. It would have been fun. Totally. Who cares? The movie wasn't going to play. A roast in public? You run that risk. This, you know, it's like, come on, this guy's a
freak. What's the deal with movies, guys? I mean, come on.
I think it would have been fun. I don't know. People were being very mean to somebody who just wanted to do her bad comedy, and it's like, come on.
But it's important to note she's also a psychic too, this woman. Oh, so she knew how this was going to turn out, right? So she
did she say that she publicly? Did,
apparently yeah, at the yeah, end of the as video she, yeah as I she's get leaving that far.
She gives her material. She's like, if you want to find me, I'm also a psychic, so I can help you out with that too. So
you know what, I can't say I don't celebrate that either. I celebrate that too. That is weird as hell.
I'm just saying. So she was fine with the whole thing. You know what I mean? She knew people were going to dunk at her on Twitter. Yeah. She saw it coming. So you're being an advocate for no reason. That's my point.
Down.
We should just all not be on Twitter. And
because you tell me Matt Kelly's not going to do something like that. Matt Kelly would be so good at something like that.
Listen, and
I thought that
does kind of go along with the whole, you know, don't hate, create, but like it's that kind of thing that like I don't need to further comment on her journey in life, but, you know, all the best.
Katie, next time we go to the movies, I'm going to sabotage the projector. I'm going to ahead of time. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to invite Katie to the movies. I'm going to crawl up into the crawl space above the theater like John McClane. I'm going to sabotage the projector. And then with the 15 minutes we have while everybody's looking around being like, what's the deal? My movie's going to play. I'm going to have Katie go up and do.
What's the deal? We are.
I'm going to have Katie.
All that.
I'm going to have Katie go do her. She's going to do a nice skit in front of everybody.
Oh, you motherfucker. What the hell? Why would you end with that word?
She loves that word, skit. She's going to do a. She's going to like. She's going to go up there and do. She's going to do a skit like. She's going to go up there and do like park bench or something and be like, anybody want to throw out a word? I'll do a whole skit based on it improvisationally.
This is so good.
And Andy Ratinger, he's got the spirit. He says, let me know so I can be there.
Oh, there you go.
Andy's going to be there. It's going to be good. And Andy says, please do improv. Yeah, as if I script any of the show. This
no
show
one
is
wants improv.
Improv
anymore.
One of the weirdest comment I got was, if I saw anybody doing that, I would have thrown a tomato at them, to which I responded, and I would have said, why do you have a tomato in the movie theater? What a weird snack. And then I would have said, yo, I have to celebrate that too, because I'm the proponent of all that is weird. Pass me one of them tomatoes. Let's go. I'd have chomped down on that tomato. It would have dripped over my popcorn. It would have been delicious.
It's a quiet snack. Wouldn't make that much noise, unlike popcorn.
A little juicy, though.
Yeah,
depending juicy. On.
I'd have been like,
a little messy.
Heidi, what just happened? What I went to the bathroom, came back, and ate into a tomato.
Is it green?
I got to say tomato now.
I don't know why.
Was it fried?
Cars. Bringing it back to cars.
I think, too, there's something about doing a stand-up set in Los Angeles that's especially gross. You know, I would celebrate the weirdness if it was another city. Like, just don't do it here. Everyone hates that shit. We all know that garbage. It's like somebody just filming when it's in your way. You know, like we don't like that.
I feel like people hate it because that's their hustle too, and they're like, shit, I should.
No, it's just there's a time and a place for it, and it's not there.
There isn't. But there isn't. We're all going to be dead. YOLO, go up there and do your shit.
When it comes to comedy, when it comes to sketch, when it comes to stand up, my whole thing, though, is that it has to be in respect of the audience, not in respect of yourself. And
agreed.
For me,
who cares? They were going to go see the moon fall.
No,
they don't respect themselves.
I don't care. Because that woman made it about herself. And that's why
welcome to Los Angeles.
Yeah, no, I know. But
everybody
that's
who gets off a Greyhound in this town is
about
themselves.
That. Like you have to, when you're doing a comedy show, if you don't make it about the audience, then you're not really doing a comedy show.
Okay, so you should have gone up there and been like, let's craft the skit together.
Let me get out.
Should have
send the fucking
show. Katie,
stop
that woman needed you, and you probably dunked on her on Twitter, and she needed you to
actually
Yoda her.
I stayed away.
Yoda her.
A lot
you
like
could have Yoded this woman.
Halo her.
You could have Yoded this woman into being a skit master, and instead you let her die on the vine.
Why do you hate me?
Tomato vine.
Tomato vine. As we call it 5 seconds ago.
Exactly.
Geekscapists. There's no effing way you're still listening. But if you are, there's a very important mission for you to do. And now I'm not talking Halo talk. I'm talking about subscribing to a $2 late fee on the Geekscape Network.
A lot of kabloozies there.
Yeah, you got to go kablizzle.
We got some kabloozies. We don't mess around with the boring political crap. We just,
I want you to go
kablambles.
Podcast app you got.
Doodles.
You got the podcast app. Maybe you're listening to this on a podcast app. There's the White Tiger, original title for No Retreat, No Surrender.
Pulling out the knowledge.
I know my stuff.
Nice.
Geekscape is. I'm the host of Geekscape. I know a little bit about everything.
I know,
that's but very much a little bit, but about everything. I am everything, everywhere, all at once, up in my stupid geek brain. But this is what you're gonna do. You're gonna get your little app. You're gonna go kablizzle on the $2 late fee to subscribe to that. You're then probably going to hit a little share button on the episode you're listening to right now and tell your friends, hey, these guys are morons. You might like it. And you're going to throw us under the bus so your friend can listen to Jonathan horribly host a psychotic podcast with three other people. That'll be fun. And maybe leave us a comment. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Be like, you know,
well said.
Leave us a 5-star comment that says kablizzle kablazzle. And that's all we know. And the Facebook user says kablozos, which may be our sign off, but I think it's more like kablozos. We are the bozos of the kablozos.
Kablozos to you.
I don't even know what I'm saying.
My good man.
$2 late fee, Geekscape, subscribe, share, and all that. And then this Sunday, I got to tell you.
Oh, boy.
this Sunday, we got a brand new show because Matt can't help himself. It's called the Geekscape Book Club.
What?
And we're going to be talking about Frank Miller's Batman Year One comic book series. Nice. So subscribe to the Geekscape Book Club. I think that'll be live. I'm not sure. And I'm the guest, so I better figure that one out.
Nice.
But that's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to start a show called the Geekscape Book Club, looking at all sorts of comics and books and stuff you should be reading. All right, friends?
Education. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks.
Kablam.
For having us.
Ba-doing.
We out of here. Go kablizzy that nizzy.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.